Thank you, Pastor Brush and Pastor Brush. That was amazing. My name is Jonathan. Welcome to Living Vine. Good morning. You guys loving spring? I am. My lungs aren't, so asthma's kicking in. I'm having moments where I just get a little lightheaded, dizzy. If I pass out and fall over, don't call 911. I'm happy. I'm ready to go at this point. I've confessed. We've worshiped. I'm not kidding. Don't revive me. I am happy. All right. Well, here's a question. Let's get this back up. Anyway, I can you imagine life without doors? What would the world be like without doors? Knock, knock. See what I'm saying? Half my conversations with my son would be gone. We'd have no knock, knock jokes. I love Bucky's gas station. Do I have any friends out here? For only one reason. Come on, you wait till the end of this. I'll have you a believer. They have great bathrooms. The doors are full doors, complete doors. The doors have red lights and green lights. Nobody's going to knock. Nobody's going to jingle on the door. You're going to be safe in there. I love the doors. I love life without doors would be crazy for sure. What would game shows be like without doors? What would we know? We wouldn't know what to do. What's behind door number one, door number two, door number three? Back in the 80s, you could win a trip to Hawaii with no transportation included, right? Do you remember that? Anybody remember that? Like 3 weeks in Rome and Europe, you have to figure out how to get there on your own. But no, what would stories be like? Without plutonium or doors, most movies would not exist, right? I mean, if you're not cutting the red, blue, or is it the green wire, you got to be going through the right door. The world might be, all of the world is held in balance of which door they might choose. How many characters have been spared because they got to the door at just the right time? Doesn't matter what's chasing them or who's chasing them. Could be a tornado, a typhoon. It could be the evil villain. Bullets could be flying. Bombs could be falling. But if they just get to the door in time, and this is why they have slow motion, right? Slow motion, can they get to the door? If they get to the door, they've got a chance, right? The world might have hope. What would the world be like without doors? Man, I couldn't make it without doors. excuse me. Don't worry, I'm still here. We have, for the most part, a positive attachment to doors, right? Doors open opportunities, right? What is the expression? If one door closes, another door opens, right? We are expecting a door to provide something, right? Whether it's just the pure, super, like, safety, security, protection, or possibly a new opportunity, new things to come. Possibilities are endless. We have a positive attachment to doors. Think about the doors that have been opened in your life. Just take a minute. Think about the doors that have been opened in your life that have led to positive experiences. Think about where you would be right now if that door hadn't opened. It's pretty awesome. Doors give us a way out of something. They give us a way into something, and often they give us a way through life, wherever we are. Doors have a positive connotation with our life. Now, I was on a road trip with a friend. This was years ago. Years ago. In fact, I think we were coming back from the SEC basketball championship. And we had been going for miles and miles and miles. We're going to drive through the night back home. And miles, and we had not seen a sign. And this was before Bucky's. We had not seen a sign, and we needed to see a sign, okay? We needed to pull over, okay? It was time to stop. We needed to stop. That's all I'm saying. We really needed to stop. Have you ever been in a situation where, like, when is it going to? Where's the exit? I need a stop. Finally, we see a rest stop. We pull in, we don't even turn the car off, and we're both running as fast as we can, and I'm faster. So I get there first. I make the turn in first. I get into the bathroom first, and I realize I am in the women's bathroom. Somebody said it, so they've done it before. I was in the wrong place. I had gone through the wrong door. Please let me help me feel like I'm not the only person that's been through the wrong door. Has anybody else been through a wrong door? Yeah, let's extend your shame and mine. We've all been through the wrong door. So it's not just that a door is the a way in. It's the right door. We need the right door. The right door gets us out of where we were. It gets us into where we need to be. It gets us through where we are. And today, Jesus is saying that simply. I am the way in. I'm the way out. And I am the way through life. Today, Jesus is saying, I am that door. I'm the way out of the old life. I'm the way into the new life. And I am the way through life. Now, for us to understand what Pastor Brush read, John chapter 10, we need to go briefly through a summary, a survey of chapter 9. Now, what happens in chapter 9 is awesome. Jesus heals a man who is born blind. Now, keep in mind, and last week, Josh did a great job talking about Jesus saying, I am the light of the world. So here is this man. He was born blind. He wakes up blind. Every day of his life, he has been blind, and now he encounters Jesus, and he can see. He can see for the first time. It's amazing. And guess what, though? The Pharisees, the religious people of that time, they are infuriated by this. Alarms are going off in the synagogue. They end up, long story short, they end up throwing out this man who was healed. This man who is blind and now can see, they kick him out, okay? Can you imagine that? He is able to see. They should be celebrating. We would be celebrating, right? We would hope we would be celebrating with something like that. But they do not. They're like, no, it gets them so frustrated, they kick him out. Now, when Jesus hears that they've kicked him out, this is what he says in chapter 9. When Jesus heard they had cast him out, having found the man who he had healed, he looks at him and he says, do you believe in the Son of Man? And he answered, well, who is this so I may believe in him? And Jesus said, you have seen him, and he is, it's me. Who you're looking at, I am him. And this is how the man responds. Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Can you imagine? Think about, let's just take a second to take that in. This man who was blind, he now can see with his eyes. The eyes of his heart have been opened, and he can see Jesus face to face. He is looking at Jesus face to face, eye to eye, and he says, I believe. And he worships him. What kind of moment was that? I could feel it based on what we just experienced a minute ago. But this is in sharp contrast to how the Pharisees handled it, how the Pharisees handled the blind man, how the Pharisees handled the man after he was healed, and how the Pharisees handled Jesus through this entire process. It's in sharp contrast. Jesus and the Pharisees are let's just say they're going back and forth a little bit, to the point where the Pharisees say, are you calling us blind? To which I would have said, yes. Yes, duh. But Jesus is a little bit more creative than me. He's a little bit more patient. So this is where we get to chapter 10. He's responding to them now with this story. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. Now, for us to understand this, we have to have a little sheep talk here. Now, back then, and even actually still today, some of you know about sheep. You're really into sheep, and so you'll, don't quiz me later. But sheep are sometimes put in the same sheep pen. Several shepherds could use the same sheep pen. Now, sheep pens are very simple, stone walls all around, and they would put thorn branches or briars on top of the stone walls to keep out the predators. Now, when you go around to the front or the side where a door would be, instead of a door being there, there would actually be a shepherd, a shepherd instead of a door. He's like, I am the door. And they would call him the gatekeeper. And his job was really simple. Not only was he watching over all the sheep, but he was making sure the only shepherds that come into this sheep pen, the only ones that could come in, are shepherds that have sheep in this sheep pen. If you don't have a sheep in this sheep pen, you don't get to come in. That's pretty, all right, are we up to on our sheep talk? Okay, so there we are. Boom. Just like that. It's really simple. I watch the sheep. If you're not a shepherd with sheep in here, you don't get in. Okay, I think I've got that. We've got that. So why is Jesus saying this? What is Jesus saying? What he's saying, pretty simple, is this. I am the shepherd of these sheep. The reason and here's what's happening. Who's the gatekeeper? Who is letting Jesus in? The gatekeeper is his Father. The gatekeeper is his Father. God the Father is letting Jesus in. Let's look at, why? Why would he let Jesus in? Why would the gatekeeper want Jesus to come in? Let's look at one of the most famous verses in all of Scripture, right? Because God loves us. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For he did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. So what he's saying is, hey, we have a gatekeeper, God the Father, and this gatekeeper really loves us. He loves us so much, he's not going to let anybody else in other than somebody who's going to love us just as much so that we could experience this. So this gatekeeper, just like any good gatekeeper, any good shepherd standing in the way, is not letting anyone else in other than the shepherd of those sheep. Are we tracking? Why is he saying this? Why is he saying this with the Pharisees around? He's saying this because basically the Pharisees, they don't have access. They've not been granted access. They've not been allowed. He's basically saying, this gatekeeper is not saying, hey, Pharisees, you can come in here. You're not allowed in here. You don't have access like I do. Jesus has the authority from God, his Father, that the Pharisees don't have. The Pharisees are spiritually blind. Think of it, if based on the this whole day in the life right here, verse chapter 8, 9, and 10, what we see is the Pharisees would have stoned a woman, okay, and they've already kicked a man out of their synagogue that was healed from blindness. Okay, do you see where this is going? Now, in contrast, Jesus approaches both of these two people. He frees them. He gives them a new life. Right? This is in great contrast to the Pharisees. This is why he's saying the gatekeeper is letting in the shepherd of the sheep because he is going to take care of them. He's been given access to them. He's given authority to care for them. And that's exactly what he's doing. And the Pharisees cannot do this. This is why in Matthew 15, Jesus says, as he's talking to the Pharisees, he's talking to the disciples, he says, hey, don't pay attention to them. They are blind guides. Is that the type of guide you would want? A blind guide. He goes on to say, if the blind lead the blind, they both fall in a pit. So Jesus has been allowed to come in because Jesus is the one who can give us a way out, give us a way into a new life, and lead us through this life. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. And the sheep hear his voice. Now, several shepherds bring several sheep and put several sheep into the pen. And when we say several, this could be dozens of sheep. Each shepherd brings in dozens, if not hundreds of sheep from different shepherds are now in the same sheep pen. Is anybody getting like, what's going to happen here? How do we do this? This sounds like a youth event from the 80s, like some kind of tri-county lock-in. You know, just like, what's going to happen? This is like an absolute mess. How are we going to sort these sheep back out? How, when it's time to go, How are these sheep going to get back out? And sheep, I'm just telling you, which are, you know, we're the sheep. I forgot to put that in my notes, but okay, we're the sheep. Sheep aren't that bright, okay? They are like, so how are we going to regroup these dumb animals, basically? Well, they don't have much going for them, except for one thing. They know the sound of the voice of their shepherd. It's crazy. So one shepherd could be standing there, and he could call out his sheep, and out of hundreds of sheep, those sheep, his sheep, and only his sheep, pop up and say, oh, it's time to go. Nobody else is coming. You could stand there all day and want that one or that one or that one, but the only ones that will actually come, I'm not making this up, this is sheep talk. The only ones that will come are that shepherd's sheep. That shepherd's sheep, they know his voice. They know his voice. They know the sound of the shepherd's voice. And he calls them by name. Shepherds often have nicknames for their sheep. I was a youth pastor at the first church plant. And at that plant, I was near some friends where we grew up. Those guys helped me run the student ministry. Now, we went by nicknames that we had had most of our life. So these kids are looking at us like, why? They never used my real name. We never went by anybody's real name. Why are you being called Ozone? Okay? What is going on here? And we would tell them, and that's what they realized. They realized that what was happening was that we were doing life to the degree so frequently that we had earned nicknames by certain things that happened. Well, now all these students, they want a nickname. Allie, do you remember this? They all wanted a nickname. It was the thing when you got into this student ministry, I want a nickname. And they tried to give themselves nicknames. You can't do that. It has to be a situation that happens. Basically, you have to keep coming back. You have to see something's going to happen while we're doing life together, and boom, you've got your nickname. Okay, and that's how it happened. So, Ozone, Grady, Pookie, Gravy, Tater. I don't think I can find these people on Facebook now. I don't know their real names. I don't. All right, here's why they loved that. They'd go on, think about it. You remember high school. You remember middle school. You've been called names. You've gone through life. It's not so easy. They get to the student ministry. And here's what they find out. Hey, you've been on the outside all day, all week maybe, but here you're known. Here you're seen. Here you are loved. You have a name. You have a place here. See, that's what Jesus is saying. What's great about this is what we see here is God the Father has given him access. He has entered into the sheepfold. The sheep are confirming also that he is their shepherd because they know the sound of his voice. They know the sound of his voice, and he knows their names, and they follow him. Think about that. He's given them a sense that, hey, I am familiar with you. This is a sense of intimacy. When the storms are blowing, he is the one calming them down. He is the one. Do you have dogs last Saturday night? Do you remember those storms? We are constantly saying, it's okay, Ranger. It's okay, Reagan. It's okay, Little Ann. Calming them down, calling them by name, singing songs over them, settling the fear in their hearts. That's what this shepherd does. He's saying, I know you. I love you, and I've got you. The sheep hear his voice, he calls them by name, and he leads them out. Now, in contrast, you've got the thief. The thief will not be able to lead them out by his voice. So what does he got to do? What's the only way that thief can get the sheep out of that sheep pen? He can't get through the doorway because the gatekeeper's saying, no, 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 uh-uh. He's going to have to try and take them over the wall. And what's on the wall? Thorns and briars. So the only way to get them out, he's not going to be able to lead them out by his voice. He's going to have to try and lift them up
push, they're not light, lift them up, push them over. Now what's going to happen? They're going to get beaten up. They're going to get bruised. They're not being handled with love or care. That's the picture he has in mind. That's the picture I have in mind for the thief. Now he says all this and you're like, man, that makes a lot of sense. Except maybe they hadn't done all the sheep talk. I don't know. But in verse 6, it says they didn't understand anything Jesus was saying. That feels comforting as a teacher, right? So he goes on and he says, okay, basically, I mean, I'm putting it in my own version. I'm going to shoot you straight. How straight can I shoot you? This is as straight talking as I can be. I am the door of the sheep. Now, this is a small shift in the imagery. We have the sheep. He says, I am the shepherd of the sheep. I am the door of the sheep. And now we have this image of Jesus standing in the door. He is the door now. He is there to defend against thieves and robbers and anything. Wolves, lion, anyone, anything. I'm an 80s kid. I heard a great one this week. I hear Hulk Hogan is actually a really nice guy. But if you get him into the ring, he will mess you up. We get the sense that Jesus is not messing around. Jesus is the shepherd we want, right? You got to be asking. Anytime you go through the door, especially since I had that scenario, I've always checked to make sure I'm going through the right door. Is this the right door? Is this the right door? Should I go through this door? How do I know if this is the right door? Well, Jesus tells them exactly what they're going to get when they go through that door. Look at verse 9. He says, I am the door, and here's what you can expect when you come through this door. If anyone enters me, by me, he will be saved. He will go in and out and find pasture. So what is Jesus saying? I am the way out of the old life. I am the way into the new life. And I am the way through life. First of all, he says, if you come by me, if you enter this door, you will be saved. Remember the blind man? Remember the man who is born blind? That's us. That's us. We have been born spiritually blind. We talked about this last year in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18. It says, they are darkened in their understanding, separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Our sin has separated us from God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. He is the way out of the old life. We need the eyes of our hearts opened to see our sin and be like that, the man that was born blind and was healed. To be able to say, I see you, Jesus, and I believe in you, and I will worship you. He is the way out of the old life. He is the way into the new life. And he says, you will flourish. If you come through this door, you are going to flourish eternally. Your soul is going to be at rest. Your soul is no longer having to look for any other door. I will be all you ever need. But he goes on to say, and then you will go in and out and find pasture. What's he talking about? He's saying, if you come through this door, I will lead you through this life like no one else. I will lead you through this life like no one else. Now, what he doesn't say is if you come through this door, life is just going to get easier. He doesn't say if you come through this door, life will be like paradise until you see me in paradise. No, life is actually like a wilderness, which is why it resonates with that story so well. The sheep are being led through the wilderness on a regular basis. Sheep would be, now, honestly, just all right, pause. Along the eastern fringe of most any city in Israel, on the other side is a desert. If you go over the Mount of Olives and you look out, you'll see miles and miles and miles and miles of wilderness. And that is where the shepherds take care of their sheep. And on any given day, it could be raining, and that could be great. Plenty of water, plenty of food. But then there were seasons where it was scarce, and they didn't have enough. And so the right shepherd could find water when it was hard to find, food when it was hard to find, and protect them from the thieves and the robbers and the wolves and the lions. Jesus is saying, hey, this life is mostly lived out like it's a wilderness, right? It feels like a wilderness. It feels hostile most often, right? And I will help you get through it. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He will go in and out and find pasture. Now, in contrast, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's talking about the Pharisees. He's talking about bad shepherds, bad leaders. We've all gone through the wrong door. You've all experienced what it's like to be around a leader who maybe overpromised and underdelivered. You've all felt hurt. You've been wounded by somebody that you counted on, somebody that you thought you could count on, somebody you thought had your best interests in mind, only to find out the exact opposite is true. And that's the picture he is painting. In fact, Ezekiel captured this really well. Ezekiel is taking place during the time where Israel has had terrible leaders. They're actually in exile in Babylon because of it. And this is what Ezekiel 34 says. Ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed sheep? Should not the shepherds feed the sheep? And here's what he says. You eat the fat, you wear clothes with their wool, you slaughter the fat ones, you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. And as a result, they've been scattered. You can see this, right? This is what happens with bad leaders, with people who self-preservation is their number one thing. They're taking care of themselves. They're not taking care of them. They're the people they're supposed to be ruling over and caring for. Verse 5 says, they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains on every hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth with none to search or seek for them. He's reflecting on their poor leadership. He's calling them out. Thus says the Lord, behold, he goes on to say, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. Oh, I love that. Verse 15, Ezekiel, he goes on to say, I myself, hear this, friends, will be the shepherd of my sheep. I myself will make them lie down. Sound familiar? Have you heard that before? Declares the Lord. I will seek the lost. I will bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured. I will strengthen the weak. Jesus has come to fulfill what Ezekiel is talking about. Jesus is the shepherd. Jesus is the king. Jesus is the door. He has come to get the job done. And when we come through this door, when we come through Jesus, what we will experience is what we can say with confidence, similar to David in Psalm 23, what does he say? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, in biblical poems or Hebrew, it's very popular that what's in the middle of the psalm is what's most important. What's at the middle core of the psalm says everything. And right smack dab in the middle of Psalm 23, does anybody know what it says? For thou art with me. Say it. For for thou art with me. That is, of all the beautiful things that are said in Psalm 23, it's radiating at its core from this confidence David has. You are with me. You are with me. Jesus, the shepherd, Jesus, the king, Jesus, this door, you are with me. I will be with you. He's saying, I will be with you every step of the way. Every step of the way, your highs, your lows, your dark valleys, everywhere you go, I will be with you. And then he goes on to say, at the very end, it's beautiful, right? You know it. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Actually, I need to give you the best translation, the right translation. Okay, I don't always geek out on stuff like this. I'm not a scholar, but what that really is saying, when it says follow me, the Hebrew word is, this is like the only time it's ever used in a positive way. Every other time, that Hebrew word is talking about chasing, pursuing, and hunting something or someone down. Think about that. In fact, very similar, David says this because he has been pursued and hunted and chased down by King Saul, right? David is driven into exile. David goes into the wilderness. God has to take care of him. This goes on for almost a decade. He's being hunted down and pursued with the intent to take his life. He knows what it means to be hunted. He knows what it means to be pursued. And in this psalm, David does something wonderfully beautiful and amazing. He takes that idea and he flips it. And he says, guess what? Through all the ins and outs, all the trials, all the wilderness, all the exile, here's what I know. The loving kindness of God will hunt me down, will chase me down, will pursue me all the days of my life. Think about that. He's saying, yes, you will have hard times. You will have difficult times. Things will hunt you down. Things will pursue you. You will go through wrong doors. But guess what? I am with you, and my loving kindness will never stop. It will continue to pursue you, pursue you, pursue you all the days of your life. My friend, Jesus, the door, has come for you. It's not a door you have to go find. That's what's beautiful. He has pursued you. He has come after you. That door has come for you. Jesus is here for you. In this life, in this world, it would be nice if only the Good Shepherd was coming after me. But the truth is, life is most often lived in the wilderness. You will have enemies. You will have friends that turn on you. You will have leaders, people that you count on that will let you down. They will hurt you. The enemy, Satan, will never give up. He will keep nipping at your heels. Storms will come, darkness will fall, but I've got good news. This door, if you come through it, he's with you. He's for you. No matter what, for the rest of your life, he is with you. He is with you, my friends. He is the way out. He is the way in. And he is the way through. Let me ask you this. Do you know Jesus today? Have you come through this door? Have you heard his voice call out to you? Is it time to enter that door and experience life like you've never experienced before? Can you honestly say today about Jesus, you are with me? If you can't, I want to invite you after the service, I want to speak to you. I want to pray with you. I want to celebrate with you. I want to invite you to enter that door. If you've entered that door, let's close with this. I love the visual of God the Father being the gatekeeper, and God the Father giving access and access only to Jesus. That's really well thought out. In my way of living life, I'm like, man, that was a good plan. They really thought that out. Man, that's better than I could have done. Man, I mean, he really didn't mess around with that one. He chose the right one, didn't he? Man, he could. I might have made the wrong choice, but God the Father knew exactly who we needed, exactly what we needed, exactly when we needed it. Man, I'm so thankful for that. Here's just a question for you to take with you as you think about and ponder this message. Man, what a great gatekeeper he is. What would my life look like if every idea, if every person, if every new opportunity, if every thought that came through my system, I just said, would the gatekeeper let this in? Would God the Father, who loves me dearly, would he let this into my life? Would he want this in my life? Because here's what I know. A lot of things get through my door. A lot of things get through my door. Let me ask you this. Would the gatekeeper, God the Father, who loves you dearly, would he allow someone to speak a lie over you? Would he allow you to call yourself names? Names like shame. Names like not enough. Names like again. Names like worthless. Names like get it right for once. Would the Father let those words come over you? I don't think so. If you're hearing the word run rather than rest, you may have gone through the wrong door. If you're hearing you've got a long way to go, good luck, rather than take a deep breath, I'm with you, you may have gone through the wrong door. Jesus is the right door. Jesus is the right way. He is with us. Let me just pray this over you. Take a deep breath. You can even stand. Take a deep breath. Let the peace of God just fall on you right now. As you hear this, be comforted and be reminded of who you are, who he is, and what he has done. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will chase me down all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of God.